It is Thursday, February 6, 2026. And if you've been tracking the news wires, really out of anywhere from Silicon Valley to Tokyo, you know the landscape has. It's shifted.
It really has. We're looking at this massive, almost coordinated release of reports, leaked blueprints, all of it. The industry is already calling it Tekken Night 2026.
Right. And usually we get these isolated product launches.
Yeah.
A phone here, a demo there.
Exactly. But looking at the source material we have in front of us today, this just feels different. It's less about new gadgets.
And more about a kind of structural change in how our entire digital world operates.
That's the perfect way to put it.
You know, the phrase paradigm shift gets thrown around so much, it's almost meaningless. But I think this might actually be one.
I think so. We're seeing this convergence of hardware, AI, and even macroeconomics all sort of merging into one intelligent thing.
So our mission today is to cut through that noise. We're going to navigate six specific stories from this release, and we're going from the controller in your living room
all the way to the lunar surface. And the thing to keep in mind, the through line, is integration. None of these technologies exist in a vacuum anymore.
They're all talking to each other. Okay, so let's start with the story that's going to impact the most people, probably the fastest, the entertainment sector.
The PlayStation 6 leaks.
Oh, yeah. It has absolutely broken the gaming internet this morning.
It certainly has. And while that Reddit post with the prototype image was scrubbed almost instantly,
the specs are out. The tech and game research team got them.
They're out in the wild. But we need to look past the hype, you know, and really look at the architecture. It's running on a custom AMD Zen 6 processor.
So for you listening, Zen 6 basically means a massive jump in efficiency. But the headline number everyone's citing is 55 teraflops.
Which is just a staggering amount of raw math.
We see big numbers every generation. What does that actually mean for the player sitting on the couch?
It translates to the end of a trade-off. For the last, what, decade you had to choose?
Performance or fidelity? Does it look pretty or does it run smoothly?
Exactly. Sony is targeting native 8K resolution at a locked 120 frames per second. But the real insight here, the magic, isn't the raw power, it's the PSSR 2.0.
That's their AI upscaling tech, right? PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution.
It is. So instead of the GPU drawing every single pixel, which is just computationally expensive, generates a lot of heat.
The AI just predicts it.
It predicts and reconstructs textures at a microscopic level. The claim in the report is that digital environments are now completely indistinguishable from physical reality.
So you can stop the character and just stare at a brick wall and it holds up.
That's the idea. Photorealism that holds up to scrutiny.
That visual side is great, but the source material also highlights something called path stream architecture, which sounds a bit more functional.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is the death of the loading screen.
We've heard that promise before.
We have, but with a bandwidth of 30 gigabytes per second, they've actually removed the bottleneck. You're not just loading data fast, you are streaming the game world instantly.
So the whole concept of levels or zones just evaporates.
Precisely. It allows for zero latency. You walk through a door and you're just there. It keeps you in that flow state.
But the part that I found most interesting, and frankly a little intrusive, is the controller, the DualSense 3.
Oh, it's crossed a line. It's not just an input device anymore.
It sounds more like a medical one.
It's a full biometric feedback loop. The sensors are tracking your heart rate, your skin conductivity.
Wait, my sweat levels.
Your sweat levels while you're holding it.
So it actually knows if I'm stressed.
It knows. And the game engine reacts to that data in real time. If your heart rate spikes in a horror game, the AI might dim the lights or warp the music.
And what if I'm bored?
If you're bored, it might throw a jump scare at you to wake you up. The game is effectively playing you.
That's a fundamentally different relationship with media. And at a $799 price point, they're not selling a toy. They're selling a secure gateway to an alternate reality.
It's an experience engine. It blurs the line between cinema and interactivity.
Speaking of blurring lines, let's move to the device that bridges our digital and physical lives. After 6 years of rumors, supply chain leaks from Vietnam and India have confirmed it.
Apple is finally entering the foldable market, the iPhone 18 Pro Flip.
And this is significant, not because it's the first one,
but because it's Apple. They famously wait until a technology has matured, until they can solve the main pain points.
And the biggest pain point for foldables has always been the crease.
That visible dip right in the middle of the screen. It ruins the immersion.
What's their fix?
The leaked blueprints show this miniature hydraulic hinge. It's made of grade 5 aerospace titanium. The whole engineering goal is a perfectly flat surface when it's open.
And they're using a new material, too. Ceramic flip OLED.
Right, which claims to be twice as scratch-resistant as the glass we have now.
Okay, a tougher screen is good, but foldables have always struggled to justify why they need to fold.
Other than just being smaller in your pocket.
Exactly. What is Apple doing differently?
They've introduced something called the Action Ring. It's a circular secondary display right on the back, next to the cameras.
What's it for?
It's a touch interface. You can scroll through your music, your emails, whatever, without opening the phone.
So it reduces the friction. You don't have to fully commit to unfolding it just to check a notification or skip a song.
Right. It keeps you in the loop without sucking you into the main screen. And it leverages the form factor for the camera.
How so?
You've got a 200 megapixel main sensor, 10x periscope zoom. But because it folds, you can use those amazing rear cameras for selfies.
And use the Action Ring as the viewfinder. That's clever.
It is. Under the hood, we're looking at the A20 Bionic chip. It's the first mass-produced 2-nanometer processor.
Why is that 2-nanometer number important for the average person?
It's all about energy. The smaller the transistors, the less power they need. Moving to 2-nanometer reduces energy consumption by about 40%.
Which is how they can power two screens and a mechanical hinge without the battery dying by lunchtime.
Precisely.
So at $1,300, this really feels like the iPhone moment for foldables. It's Apple telling the market, okay, this form factor is ready for the mainstream now.
It is, and it'll likely force a consolidation in the market. If smaller companies can't match that hinge engineering, they're going to struggle.
So we have hardware that's morphing and folding. But the software we use to create things is having an even bigger shift. This brings us to Adobe and Firefly 4.
And this moves us from just editing video to actually generating it.
What's the distinction there?
Well, we're moving from a tool-based workflow where you're just pushing existing pixels around to an intent-based one. You tell it what you want.
With text prompts.
Exactly. It generates hyper-realistic 8K video from text. But the feature that changes the entire industry is neural scene manipulation.
Okay, so break that down for me. I'm a filmmaker. How does that work?
Okay, so say you've got raw footage of an actor walking down a street in New York. Instead of reshooting or using a green screen, you just type a command.
Like what?
Change setting to 1920s Paris, raining at night. The AI understands the geometry, the lighting. It just swaps the environment while keeping the actor's performance perfectly intact.
That sounds incredibly efficient, but also potentially job-ending for a lot of people. Set designers, lighting crews.
That is the friction point. The efficiency is undeniable, but it hollows out that middle tier of production. It also has a smart director feature.
And what does that do?
The AI analyzes the script and generates a custom orchestral score that's synced to the emotional beats of your video.
So a single creator, a YouTuber, can now output production values that used to require a team of 20 people.
It's being called democratic cinema. The only limit is the story you can imagine.
But we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Deepfakes. If reality's this easy to edit, how can we trust anything we see?
It's a huge problem. Adobe is pushing their content credential system hard with this release. It's an invisible, encrypted digital fingerprint embedded in the file.
And it tracks every single edit.
Every edit. Every AI generation. The idea is that reputable news outlets will require these credentials to verify authenticity.
A technical solution to a human trust problem. We'll see if it works. Now, while AI handles the creative labor, we're seeing a massive shift in physical labor. Let's talk about Amazon's DigitX.
This is happening right now. In California, Amazon has deployed 10,000 humanoid robots into their fulfillment centers.
And these aren't robots on wheels. They're bipedal. They walk on two legs.
Which lets them navigate spaces built for humans, like stairs. But the real breakthrough isn't the hardware. It's how they learn.
It's called imitation learning.
Correct. So previously, you had to code every single joint movement. These new robots are trained by watching video feeds of humans performing the tasks. They learn visually.
That sounds much faster. It means they can adapt. If the inventory changes, you just show them a new video instead of rewriting code.
Exactly. And the efficiency jump they're citing is 300%. They don't take breaks. They don't get tired.
Which brings us to the controversy. Amazon is positioning this as a safety initiative, right? Robots doing the heavy, repetitive lifting.
And that's a valid point. Warehouse work is incredibly punishing on the human body. But the unions, they see this as the prelude to the dark warehouse.
Is that the term being used in the reports?
Yes. A dark warehouse is a facility with no lights, no heating, no break rooms, because there are no humans inside. just machines moving in the dark.
So despite Jeff Bezos talking about humans moving into supervisory roles,
the math of a 300% efficiency gain makes a fully robotic logistics chain very, very attractive to shareholders. It's a historic transition for the workforce.
It really is. Okay, so from physical labor to how we pay for things, the European Central Bank has made a move that could redefine money itself.
The Euro Digital. And this isn't a crypto experiment or some pilot program. It's a central bank mandate, and it's launching summer 2026.
And it's mandatory for merchants to accept it. So how is this different from me just using my credit card with Apple Pay?
Well, Apple Pay is just a digital layer on top of the old beating system. The digital euro is the money. It lives on a centralized government blockchain, and it settles instantly.
What's the key feature here?
The one technical analysts are really focusing on is safe offline.
This solves the big problem with the digital currency, right? What happens when the power goes out or you lose your signal?
Exactly. It allows smartphones to transfer funds directly to each other using Bluetooth 5.0, peer-to-peer. You can tap phones in a dead zone, the value transfers, and the transaction verifies itself later.
That's convenient. It mimics cash. But unlike cash, I have to imagine privacy advocates are concerned.
They are. The fear is absolute monitoring of every transaction.
So what's the ECB's solution to that?
To combat this, they've implemented zero-knowledge encryption for small transactions, specifically anything under 50 euros.
So if I buy a coffee, the central bank can verify the transaction is valid without knowing it was me who bought it.
That is the claim. It preserves anonymity for daily life, but for anything larger, there is a permanent traceable record.
So this is the first major step by a global power toward a fully regulated cashless society.
And you can be sure the U.S. is watching very, very closely. If this works in Europe, a digital dollar won't be far behind. Money is stopping being a physical thing and is just becoming programmable code.
Wow. We've covered Earth, the cloud, and our wallets. Let's finish this deep dive by leaving the planet entirely. NASA and Artemis 4 have confirmed the site for Moonbase Alpha.
We are officially going to the Shackleton Crater at the lunar South Pole.
Why that specific spot?
It's all about resources. Shackleton Crater has what they call the Peaks of Eternal Light.
Points on the crater rim that get sunlight pretty much all year round.
Exactly. That solves your power problem with solar arrays. And deep in the shadowed parts of the crater, there are massive deposits of water ice.
Water for drinking, but in this context, water is also fuel.
Right. You split the water into oxygen for breathing and hydrogen for rocket fuel. This isn't just a science outpost anymore. It's a gas station. It's the refueling point for Project Red.
Mars mission.
The one scheduled for the 2030s.
And I was struck by the construction method in the NASA release. They're not shipping habitats up there.
No, they're printing them. It's the only way to make it viable. They're using 3D printers with lunar regolith, basically moon soil, to build the structures.
And to power all this heavy industry, they're not just using solar.
Rolls-Royce has developed micronuclear reactors to supplement the solar arrays. It really feels like we're transitioning from exploration, you know, planting a flag and leaving.
To occupation.
To occupation. Oof. With the helium-3 mining contracts involved, the moon is effectively becoming the eighth continent. It's an economic zone now. We are becoming a multi-world species.
When you stack all six of these stories together, it's a lot to process. It feels like 2026 is a genuine pivot point.
It is, but look at the pattern. You've got immersive realities in the living room, AI handling creativity, robots for physical labor, programmable money.
And a multiplanetary footprint with Artemis.
It's the infrastructure of a new era. It's not just tech. It's the operating system for the next 50 years.
And it raises that question we hinted at earlier. If the drudgery of labor is gone and the technical barrier to art is gone and even the physical limits of our planet are gone, what becomes the primary value of a human being in the late 2020s?
That's the question we're all going to be wrestling with for the next decade, isn't it? If a machine can do the work and the art, what's left that is uniquely ours?
I think you're right. A fascinating thought to end on. We're going to be tracking all of these stories as they develop. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us into the blueprints of 2026.
Always a pleasure.
And to you listening, keep your eyes open. The future is closer than it looks. We'll see you in the next one.